Well, just how much does God really love you? Have you considered that thought lately? Just how much does God really love you? To what lengths will God go to demonstrate His love to you? Let's look at a few passages that communicate the measure of God's love. 1 John 3, 1-2 says this. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." How many know when love is lavished, that's just not a little sprinkle? That's just not a little stream. That is like standing under Niagara Falls, that God has poured out and lavished His love upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. John goes on to write, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That is an awesome thought. Amen? To see Christ in all His glory, coming forth on a white horse, written on His thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with a double-edged sword coming out of His mouth, His glory and His splendor, to come to receive His bride. That's the love that God has lavished upon us. So just how much does God really love you? Do you know? Have you grasped the full measure of His love? Paul writes this in Ephesians 3:16 through 19. He says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches," how many know God's riches, again, are not just a little bitty pile in the corner? God's riches have no limitations. And so Paul says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," how many knows that means God loves you? If you're rooted and established in love, that means God loves you. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," here's the key phrase, "may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." So how many know, if it surpasses knowledge, which is what we understand in the brain, in the mind, this is about a love that goes down to the heart, that is beyond what we can fully grasp or conceive or understand. But yet our heart can get a hold of it because we're connecting with the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying, "That you may know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Isn't that incredible? God wants us to know the fullness of His love. And yet, it's going to require that we go to deeper places than just what we can understand with our own mind. It's something that requires an understanding of the heart. God actually wants to fill you up with His love. From top to bottom, that's what God wants. The apostles John and Paul help us to see here in these passages the full extent of God's love for us. and how much He wants us to grasp that love within our hearts. Over the past few weeks, we've been focusing on the significance of trusting the Father's love because we trust that He is good and that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. We've seen how trusting God's love drives out fear from our hearts and how it brings faith into our hearts and how by faith we are able to do the supernatural works of God. Those all go hand in hand. You can't separate them. We've got to trust God's love so that faith increases, it grows within our hearts. And by that faith that increases in our hearts, we are able to lay hold of things that we can't get in this world, but they got to come from another world, the heavenly kingdom. But through faith, they do come into this world. Amen? And three passages make this clear. The first one, 1 John 4:16 through 18, shows how trusting God's love drives out fear. We've been looking at this passage, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear. Now, there's been television programs, that, right? No fear. Well, those are a facade. Because there's only one way there can be no fear. It's when we grasp and walk in perfect love. And perfect love only comes from God. Amen? And so it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. We've gotten into quite a bit of detail about what all is entailed there. But he says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so that means that some area of our life means we're not trusting God completely. We're not trusting His love because there's fear present. So this is what we need to understand. Because God loves us, His perfect love drives out fear, and therefore we can rest in the truth that God is not looking for a way to punish us. He's not up there going, okay, I just can't wait till they mess up so I can just lay some licks on them. See, because God loves us, we are free from that concern, because His love tries to drive that out of us, and the way it gets driven out is when we trust His love. All right, and then in Galatians 5:5-6, we looked at last week, this shows us how trusting God's love brings faith. It says, for we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. So because we know that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ and we've been saved and set free from sin, by faith we already know we obtain salvation, correct? And so through hope, we're waiting for it to not only just stay in the heavenly realms, but to come into the natural realm when Christ returns and we get a resurrection body, and this whole mortal body that struggles with this world and sin and death is done away with, and we are clothed now fully with our hope of righteousness. How many know that can be celebrated because God gave it through His love in giving His Son? Amen? And it says, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. We talked about that in terms of that's related to things that are in the natural, right? And we can't obtain things that are supernatural through natural means. And so circumcision is not going to get somebody in right relationship with God, right? The only way that we can be in right relationship with God is when faith works through love. Because our faith in God's love actually enables us to obtain it. And so, God wants to fill our heart with his love as we and faith as we trust him. And then finally, in John 6, 28 through 29, this shows us how trusting God's love actually enables us to do the works of God by faith. Jesus was ministering to some folks, and they asked him, well, what must we do to do the works of that God requires? This is an interesting statement. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Isn't that incredible? To believe in the one he has sent. Now, when we talk about the works of God, how many know those are not things that we can do with our hands? Or in the physical. The works of God are supernatural, amen? And so that's why Jesus said, the works of God are this, to believe in the one that he sent. See, notice it's not the works of man. It says the works of God. And the way that we see God at work is when we believe his word and we trust his love. And then if we take it one step further, then we declare with our mouth the realities of what we believe in our heart. And when those two things are lined up, we're going to see the works of God. I don't know about you, I'm kind of tired of seeing the works of man. I want to start seeing God do some things. Amen? Now, what's interesting is, though, in order to do that, notice what Jesus said. It does require something on our part. We must believe in the one he has sent. And when we believe in, now, I believe that God wants to take this further than just salvation. And that's as far as many in the church ever take matters. They think, well, we're saved, we're born again, when we die, we're going to heaven. That's about all the supernatural we're going to get till Jesus comes back. Well, I got news for you. Salvation is just the beginning, not the end. It's the means to more. But you still have to believe Christ for the more. Amen? And the only way we're going to do that is if we trust God's love. And I'm going to tell you why many people struggle with trusting God's love. Because there's such stinking thinking and poor theology out there that says that we're no good, low down, worthless scum, worms under the feet of God, wretched sinners. Any heard that kind of theology? That's bunk. That's a great theological word, isn't it? Bunk. Right? That's a bunch of bunk. Listen. You have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. You are a citizen of heaven. You're a child of the King. You're not a low-down, worthless sinner. That's not your identity any longer. And God loves you, whether you believe it or not. But I will tell you this, if you want to access that love, you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to. And if you want to access the things that his love gives you, you know, those good and perfect gifts that come down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. If you want to receive those things, you're going to have to believe him for that too. So as we've established so far in this series, trusting God's perfect love is actually foundational for receiving his promises. It's foundational. If we desire to receive good things from God supernaturally, which means they come from heavenly places to the earth, that begins by trusting God's perfect love. When we trust God's perfect love, That helps faith to grow in our heart, to believe God wants to give us good things. And when we believe in our heart that God wants to give us good things, because we trust that every promise in Christ is yes and amen, our faith then works through God's love to bring supernatural things into our lives. That's the principle that we have been focusing on for the last 2 weeks. Now, with that being established, this morning we're going to look at how God wants our faith to work through love on behalf of others, not just on behalf of ourselves. Because that's where he wants us to go next, right? Yes, he wants us to trust his love. Yes, he wants us to receive good things from him. But that's not where he wants it to end. He wants us through that process to now cause our faith to be extended to others and to cause our understanding of his love to be extended to others. And so when we trust in God's love within our heart and it brings faith to believe God for supernatural things, the principle I want to establish this morning is he doesn't only want us to focus on what we can personally receive from God. He also wants his love and supernatural power to be demonstrated to others. The way people most often become aware of God's love and experience his love is through followers of Christ demonstrating his love to them through their words and actions, because they are extending to others the love that God has already given to them. See, you can't give away what you don't already possess, correct? But once you possess it, how many know God's riches and the riches of his love is inexhaustible? So you can just keep loving and loving and loving, and guess what? Your tank will never run dry as long as you keep believing and keep believing and keep believing that God loves you, and there's so much of his love that he wants to pour into you, because he wants you to be like this overflowing fountain that his love is poured out through you onto other people. Because he wants to lavish his love on others too. But what's really cool is you get to be a part of that. Because there's a lot of people that don't know about his love. There's a lot of people that are broken and wounded and hurting, both in the church and outside the church. And how are they going to know about God's love when they're so wounded they don't even know if they believe in God? Or they don't know if God's given up on them because they're so hurt that the enemy is messing with them and deceiving them and confusing them, right? Those are all functions that the enemy gets involved in. And so the way that people are going to receive God's love is through you and me. Christians' words and actions of faith, which are motivated by God's love, are actually the means by which God does supernatural things on behalf of others. Let me say that again. Christians' words and actions, which are motivated by God's love, are actually the means by which God does supernatural things on behalf of others. See, once God's love fills a person's heart, the next thing he wants his children to do is to obey two specific commands. And those commands actually sum up all of his commands. And the reason he gives us these two commands is because they actually become the means by which faith accesses his divine power and blessing on behalf of others. Let me say that again, because we've heard these two commands. You probably already are thinking, what these two commands are in your mind, okay? But there's a reason God gives us these commands. And it's deeper than just us. And it's just deeper, and it's deeper than being good little boys and girls for Jesus. It's deeper than that. It really is. But that that's as far as some people ever take it. But listen, why does he give us these commands? I want you to hear this again. It's because they actually become the means by which faith accesses his divine power and blessing on behalf of other people. So here's the two commands. Let's look in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together, the religious bunch, right? One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. See, some of you were already thinking this, weren't you? This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, listen to this, depend the whole law and prophets. So the whole Old Testament, believe it or not, is summed up in those two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and other verses are of the Synoptic Gospels will add strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So once we have received God's love, and his perfect love fills our heart, God then commands us to love him and to love others with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the reason God commands us to love him and others is so that, number one, we will reflect God's character, qualities, and ways to others, right? What better way for people to know the character, nature, qualities of God than to see his love in action through us? And then through our faith, they will be able to receive and experience his love in supernatural ways. I wish somebody would have taught me this early on in my Christian walk. I'm amazed at what the Holy Spirit is working in my own life to teach me. Because nobody, and I mean nobody that I can ever remember, when they taught on love, ever connected it with the supernatural. I was never taught that. Now, I know there's another step in this, and it's called faith. But that's why Paul writes that faith works through love. If it's going to produce the kind of fruit that God wants it to produce, faith has to work through love. We're going to see that a little later in the message. But now let's look at God's Word, where it shows how our faith, working through love, helps others experience God's goodness and love so that they receive good things that God wants to give them. We're actually going to begin by reading a verse we've already been focusing on so we can know how trusting God's love leads to loving God and others, loving others, right? Those two are always connected. Have you noticed that in the Bible? Just like with these two commandments, love God and love others. But we're going to see how that all works in this passage. Let's look at 1 John 4. We're going to begin with verse 18 again, which we've read several times now. And we're going to go through chapter 5, verse 5. Let's begin again. This will sound very familiar. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. How many know that's talking about God's love? But now, this is the verse after that. We love, okay, now something has changed, right? We're not talking about just receiving love. Now we're talking about giving love. It says, we love because. That's a key word, because he first loved us. This is really important. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. So basically what John is saying is, listen, we love because he first loved us. And you can't love unless you've been loved. And that love that you've received must come from God, because God is love. So the love we're talking about is receiving God's love, and as we receive God's love, it's going to generate into loving others. But loving God must precede loving others. Since faith works through love, this is how the process works, okay? So let's make this really practical. This is how the process of love works. We must first recognize our own sin and need for God's love, right? Which he has provided mankind through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. All right? Once we recognize our own sin and need for God's love, we must then put our faith in Christ in order to receive his love and salvation. So that's the next step. First recognize, then receive. Then once we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we receive God's love and salvation, it's at that point that we must learn to trust God's love and live in his love through all of life's circumstances, whether good or bad. Because had any of you noticed, that's the first thing the enemy tries to do, is that once you become a child of God, the first thing he tries to do is take advantage of the trouble that exists in this world so that Christians think, well, wait a minute, God loves me. Where is he? Why am I going through this hard time? Why did this happen to me? What's up? Where's God? Why doesn't he care? Why doesn't he take care? And the enemy just tries to flood us with those kinds of questions. And so it requires that we learn, in spite of our earthly circumstances, to trust God's love. Because if you don't, then you'll never get to the place where you will have faith to access what is necessary to overcome the very troubles that you're experiencing. See, the enemy doesn't want you to rise above those troubles. He wants you to be consumed by them and to believe that God has something to do with them. But when we refuse to accept that lie, and we say, no, no matter what happens, Romans 8, 35 through 39 says that who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, all these hardships, right? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's how you conquer. Trusting God's love. For I am convinced, see, Paul didn't get caught up in that. I mean, if anybody had a reason to get caught up in it, didn't he? Shipwrecks, beasts, hunger, nakedness, persecution, beatings. I mean, that dude went through more than you and I'll ever think about going through. But he, listen to what he says, but in all these things, we're still more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we trust and live in God's love, God's love fills our heart and it enables us then to love him in return and to love others. And then finally, the way we love God and love others is through our words and our actions that obey God's written word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So that's the process of walking in God's love, living in God's love, and producing supernatural things by faith through God's love in others' lives. And as we continue reading on in 1 John chapter 5, we see this. Now we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. That's not only Jesus, that's all the children of God, correct? This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. How many know all God's commands are about either loving God or loving people? Walk through the Ten Commandments even the moral law, and see if it isn't about loving God and loving people. For everyone born of God overcomes, here's the good part, the world. You want to overcome this world? Well, first you got to be born again, right? But then listen to the rest of the verse. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It is your faith that taps into the works of God. It is your faith that trusts the love of God. It is your faith that will help others experience healing and deliverance and salvation. That's how we're going to overcome. But that faith is going to work through this love that we've been talking about. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So as we overcome the world through faith in Christ and God's love, we see from this passage that God also wants us, again, to love him, to love others, and help them overcome the world. So what does loving others look like specifically? How can we love people in such a way that they will experience God's love and experience God's supernatural power and revelation in their life? Let me ask you that again. How can we love people in such a way that they experience God's love and experience God's supernatural power and revelation in their life? The final passage we're going to look at this morning brings love, faith, and the supernatural all together. And many times again, this is another familiar passage. Too many people read this passage and they do not put this together. They theologize this passage sometimes, and it's almost like mystical woo-woo-woo. I'm just going to let you in. It's the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But let's look at it from this context that we've been discussing, or actually I've been preaching. How's that? 1 Corinthians 13, it has 13 verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, I may know that's supernatural, that's not natural, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Right? I'm just a noisemaker. And quite frankly, if I make noise and it's not very loving, that's pretty annoying, isn't it? Wasn't a very loving noise. Okay. If I have not love, I'm just a noisemaker. That's what he's saying. All right, verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, which is to edify, encourage, and comfort. Okay? That's words of edification, encouragement, exhortation, comfort. That's what prophecy is. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, just to let you in on this, people can do supernatural things without love. So when I say faith works through love, there are people that have learned to tap into another spiritual entity and kingdom that has nothing to do with love, but they believe in it. And because they believe, there is power. But if we're going to walk in the kingdom of God, our faith must work through love. That's why Paul wrote this passage. So if I can do all these things, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast. So who's this about? Is this about others? Or is this about, look at me? I'm going to tell you, this is why I think God has shut down a lot of revivals that have actually started in the church. Because it started out with the right motive, but then people started making it about them. And when it becomes about us and not about the glory of God and about manifesting His love toward other people, what's the end result? Paul says, I gain nothing. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be a lot of people who have said, Lord, when didn't we do miracles in your name and cast out demons in your name and all this? Guess what? If they didn't do it in love, Jesus would say, I don't even know who you are. I wish a lot of Pentecostals and charismatics would get a hold of that. This is love. This is love. The description. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Boy, there is a passage that will preach a sermon just in itself. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and it always perseveres. How many think we could use a little more love in the church today? Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, guess what? When Jesus comes, they will cease. Where there are tongues, when Jesus comes, they will be stilled. I know I'm adding a phrase in there, but I want, just because this is interpreted other ways, but I want you to understand the true context that Paul's writing. And I think he explains it well in just a verse or two. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. This, because he's talking about supernatural things, he's not talking about general knowledge here. He's talking about words of knowledge, because it's in the context of spiritual gifts that he's writing this. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now here, but when completeness comes, how many know that's when Jesus shows up? What is in part disappears. When I was a child, he's just reiterating the same thing he just said. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childhood behind me, right? Guess what? When Jesus comes back and we're made complete, all this impart stuff, all these things that, how many know children don't know what mom and dad know? That's what this is talking about. It's putting the childishness away, because the child now comes into completeness, and now Jesus reveals all his knowledge to us at that time. So then prophecy won't be needed. Tongues and interpretation won't be needed. Right? Words of knowledge won't be needed, because here he goes. It says, "For now we only see," verse 12, "a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." How many know Jesus knows every thought you have? He knows every part of who you are. He knows all the details of your life. He knows you fully. Won't it be incredible when we are caught up in the air with him and we know him as he knows us? We can't even fathom that. Oh, I'm telling you. Come, Lord Jesus. Right? You know? Okay, and now these three remain. This is awesome. It brings it all together: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because love is the foundation by which our faith works through. And when we trust God, then we believe God, and we believe his promises are yes and amen, and we believe that he wants to do good things on our behalf. And so what we hope for that we don't yet have comes through faith, which works through his love. So the greatest of it all is love, and that's what we've been focusing on for about 8 weeks now, as I counted it up. It's just now we're talking about us expressing his love, not just receiving his love. Amen? So, as your faith works through loving God and loving others, I want you to hear something this morning. You can make a difference in other people's lives. I want you to hear this morning. You may be the one person God wants to demonstrate his love through to someone else. God has equipped you in a way and has put you in particular places that he hasn't done with anyone else. He has called and chosen you to be a vessel in which he does specific works with specific people. Are you getting this? Your trust in God's love gives you the capacity and the ability to effectively love and help people through your faith. I hope you're getting this. This is why it's so important that you trust God's love. It's so you can receive what you need from God in faith, so you can grow in your love of God and others, so that through your love, your faith can work on their behalf, so that you can help them experience God's love and power, so they can grow in their trust of God's love and believe for supernatural things in their own lives, so that they can demonstrate God's love to others by faith, so that disciples of Christ may be multiplied. There's a lot of so that's there, isn't there? But that's the progressive process that Christ wants to take us through. Listen. Your life is important. You are important to the kingdom of God. God wants to work in you and through you to make a difference in someone else's life. Someone who the Holy Spirit shows you needs to receive God's love and grace. Someone that possibly none of the rest of us can reach. Someone who God has equipped you to minister to. Can you see why it's important that you trust God and that you trust His love for you as well as others? Love God, love others. What significant differences does God want you to make in someone else's life? Just by listening to the Holy Spirit and showing someone the love He wants to give them through you. It could be through a word of encouragement or comfort or exhortation, what the Bible calls prophecy. It could be through the laying on of hands and believing God for healing their life. It could be through helping them do something they aren't able to do alone or even at all because it isn't something they understand how to do or they even have the means to do. It could be through helping them through a crisis they're facing. How many know that helping people in these kinds of situations is first going to require love? And then it's going to require faith that works through that love. And finally, it's going to require obediently speaking and doing what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Can I tell you, God's got supernatural works He wants done in people's lives. And those works have your name written all over them. Do you know that? Right? Ephesians 2:10. For you are God's handiwork or workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do works that He prepared in advance for you to do. God's got supernatural works, but they're God's works and they're going to require faith and love. Believe it or not, God wants to work in people's lives through the love and faith He has placed in your heart so that people can be saved, delivered, and healed. The question is, are you willing? And are you willing to allow God to work what is necessary within your own heart so that He can demonstrate His love and power through you? If you're feeling this morning the tug of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit working in you, and that God wants you to be one of those kind of people, I want to invite you to pray something with me this morning, believing that God will answer your prayer. That's very key. You got to believe that God will answer what you ask of Him. And so I want to invite you to pray with me four things. One, I want to invite you to ask God to place His heart of love and compassion in your heart for those He loves. I'm going to tell you this is a dangerous prayer to pray. I did this when I was first saved. The man who was the preacher, who was the youth retreat leader when I was saved, his name was Johnny Ray Watson. Some of you know him. Johnny Ray said that he prayed one day that God would let him feel what He feels for the heart of people. And then Johnny said, don't ever pray that prayer. He says, it'll break your heart. Of course, you know, I thought he was the coolest thing on earth at the time because I was just saved and I hung on every word he said. So I'm like, I want to be like Johnny Ray. So I was stupid enough not to take his advice. And I'm telling you, it is a burden. But God wants us to take His burden on. That burden. This is God's burden, not man's burden. Remember, God's yoke is easy and His burden is light, right? But at the same time, it still will break your heart. If you dare to ask God to put His love and compassion in your heart for people, you'll never be the same. You won't look at life the same way. Then I want to ask you, and invite you to ask God to show you how He wants you to minister His love to others. He will show you. And then I want to invite you to ask God to help you recognize His leading as you go throughout your day, your daily life. See, we can just busy, right? And we can walk, and that still small voice, the Spirit of God, is trying to speak to us, but we're so busy, thinking that this world is so important that we don't take time to realize there's divine appointments every day of your life all around you if you'll just hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you to recognize when He is bringing those opportunities and He's leading you. And then finally, I want to invite you to ask God to give you the courage to step out in faith on behalf of others and do what God's asked you to do, because it's only when you do that that they will experience His love and power. God can speak to you all day long, but if you don't say what He says to say and you don't do what He says to do, then no one can be blessed. Because what God chooses to do, He does through His body. And you're that body. And the head is speaking to you sometimes, but you can't go, oh, I don't know. You can get into fear. Perfect love casts out fear, right? You're going to have to trust God and walk in faith. And you know what? Not get so concerned about what's going to happen to you, but get yourself looking on what God wants to do for them. So those are all dangerous prayers to pray. But I tell you what, they're the most exciting things to do in this life, to be partners with Jesus Christ in building the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, this is how the works of God will happen. Y'all want to see this church grow? Yes. Can I tell you it's not going to grow because of the fancy things that we can produce? Or because I'm a good preacher or not a good preacher, or I'm too long-winded or not long, you know, whatever. And I won't be accused of the other. It's going to happen through the works of God. You know what? We start laying hands on people and people start getting healed and they get words of knowledge and they get prophecy and they get the power of God and the love of God is manifested. You know what? They'll sit here for 2 hours every week and listen to me preach. We've become so worldly minded even in church growth. But I'll tell you what, people's lives start turning upside down and the power of God start coming and miracles start happening because we trust God's love and we believe. I'm telling you, we're going to have to build something else. We won't keep them out of here. We're going to have more than one service. We're going to have to do crazy things. I don't know about you, that's where I want to go. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you willing to pray this prayer with me today? If you would, stand up with me, please. I'm just going to open with a prayer and then I'm going to invite you to repeat these words with me. If that's what's in your heart, then just agree with me. And just like, you know, somebody may have led you in a prayer to accept Jesus. Well, this is the same kind of thing. Don't do it because I'm saying it. You pray it to Christ, okay? But I want to invite you to pray those four things with me. So let's pray. Father, right now I thank You for Jesus. And I thank You for Your word. And I thank You for Your love, that You want to put Your heart in us. And so as we walk with You today, as we glorify Your name, as we seek to follow after You, we want to be the people after Your own heart. We want to walk in Your love. We want to walk in Your goodness. We want to walk in Your peace. We want to walk in Your joy. We want to help others come to know you. And so, Lord, we ask you to do some things in our heart that will make us people of love, people of faith, and people who walk in the power of God. And so right now, I just want to invite you to repeat these words, but I want you to pray them from your heart to the Lord. So pray with me. If this is the desire of your heart, that God put these things in your life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to place in my heart your love and compassion, that I will love people with your love, that I will actually have your love in my heart for others. And I ask you right now to show me how you want me to minister your love to others. And I ask you to help me recognize your leading wherever I go, whatever I do, even in the busyness of life. Help me to know and recognize when you're prompting me to minister to someone else. And finally, Lord, I ask you to give me the courage to step out in faith on behalf of others so that through my faith, they will experience your love, your revelation, your power, and your goodness. I ask this in Jesus' name. By faith. Amen.